Planetary scientists are very excited. They're getting the first pictures from a space probe that has landed on the surface of Titan, the largest moon of Saturn. The Huygens probe, built by the European Space Agency, hitched a ride to Saturn with NASA's Cassini spacecraft, launched in 1997. On Christmas Day, Huygens was released from its mothership and began its journey toward Titan, and now we hear word that it has today landed safely. We didn't know what was going to happen. It landed, could have splashed down. We didn't know anything about the surface of Titan. Well, rather than me jabber about it, let's bring on Richard Harris, NPR science correspondent, who's out there, who's in Germany at Darmstadt. Welcome to Science Friday, Richard.
Thanks so much, Howard. Good to be here.
A lot of excited people there. Tell us what's happening.
You better believe there's excitement. Just a few minutes ago, they released the very first image from Huygens. It's been just an unbelievable day of tension and excitement and anticipation and panic and everything else. But the payoff came just moments ago. They released an unbelievable picture. This is not really the perfect story for radio because you have to see this picture. But let me tell you.
Describe it for us.
For the first glance at this picture, what it looks like is giant mudslides, and if you look a little bit more closely, you find that it is essentially looks like drainage channels cutting through a large bank of mud or something like this and out to a shoreline. So this is just the first of hundreds of pictures we're going to see from the Huygens probe, but it is it shows that this world could very well indeed have some of the bizarre features people have been talking about. Now, Titan is far too cold to have liquid water on it. It's almost 300 degrees below zero, so this cannot be water action we're seeing. And the question then is, what is liquid at that temperature to flow? And the answer is stuff like natural gas. I mean, this could be flowing liquid natural gas like the tankers carry around on Earth. But, you know, at this incredible low temperature and the pressures there, it is a liquid on the surface, and it's slopping down these channels and creating a horrible erosion problem on Titan, as a matter of fact. But entering into this large body of fluid, which may be a large lake or could even be an ocean of liquid natural gas. I mean, it is just mind-boggling.
Well, is this a picture that was taken from above as it was heading down? Do we know if it's landed in an ocean or on the surface or what?
We don't know right now, but this picture was taken at 16 kilometers, and I'll let you do the math, but it's probably around 10 miles and altitude, so higher than a jetliner would be. But what happened was the Huygens probe landed, and it continued to transmit data for hours and hours after it hit the surface. So the best guess is that actually it did land on something solid, because if it had landed in an ocean, the thought was it might float around for a few minutes, but it presumably would sink. So that we don't know, but I'm sure the future photos and other data will tell us exactly where it landed. But the assumption is, it actually landed on solid ground, but got this fabulous view on the way down.
And this is the first real picture, clear picture we've ever had from Titan, right?
Absolutely. The Cassini space probe, which was sort of the relay station for all this data, has taken some pretty impressive pictures considering how far away it is and so on. But Titan is swathed in very heavy cloud cover, and it is really hard to see through the clouds. So that's what made one of the reasons that this became such a high priority mission was, boy, if you could send a probe through this cloudy stuff, you could actually see what the surface looked like. So that was that's indeed why we're getting this first real glimpse of this moon that's been known about since 1655. But the first look at the surface today.
Now, why is Titan chosen out of all the dozens of moons we're finding out there in Saturn and Jupiter and whatever? Why is Titan so special, and what is so mysterious that we would actually send this parachute down and investigate it?
Well, Titan is one of the few places in the solar system that actually has a substantial atmosphere. It has a denser atmosphere than Earth, and it's 98% nitrogen. Ours is also mostly nitrogen. But the other couple percentage points of what's in this stuff is carbon-based compounds like methane and some of the compounds that react with methane to create more complicated hydrocarbons. So, and that's probably where the cloudiness comes from. So this is a body out in space that has a fabulous and interesting atmosphere, and an atmosphere that actually looks like what the Earth's atmosphere might have looked something like 4 billion years ago before life formed. These initial chemical reactions are the first kind of chemical reactions you need to build up the more complicated chemicals that life is made from.
Mm-hmm. So we're sort of looking at Earth 4 billion years ago, sort of frozen in time here.
A little bit. It's not a perfect analogy because this is way far out, and the chemistry is different on the inside of the solar system, where you have rocky planets like the Earth, and the outside of the solar system, where you have these big gas giants with all these little moons around. But certainly, it is a hint of what early Earth might have looked like, and certainly a hint about the starting conditions in the solar system before life showed up here.
Is it possible that how many pictures, and will it actually send back information from where it lands? Does it send out any little metering devices so we'll know what it landed in?
Oh, it has enough cameras to get a full panoramic view of where it is. So we will get an up close and personal look, unless some of those cameras failed at some point. But there are lots of cameras. There's all sorts of other instruments on board that will take air samples and have done chemical analyses of the air and lightning detectors. There's even a little microphone on board, and they were hoping to record some of the sounds as it passed through the atmosphere, listening for thunder and trying to sort of learn about, you know, sound travels through air. So if you're smart about how you record that sound, you can learn something else about the air that you've been passing through. So we are going to get a wealth of information about this. I must emphasize that the data have just started to be analyzed.
Right.
It's all here now, apparently as much as they're going to get. And the scientists are now just going to work poring over it. And of course, the highest priority was to get a fancy picture up, which they certainly succeeded in doing. But it's going to be a late night around here with more than 100 scientists just dying to get their hands on this data to really get a sense of what this is all about.
It's interesting when you say here, because usually when we say here to a science correspondent watching pictures come back from another planet, it's always a JPL in Pasadena. You're in Germany because this is a European Space Agency project, correct?
Absolutely, that's correct. And this is certainly a moment of triumph for the European Space Agency. You know, there's always been, or almost always been, good cooperation between the European Space Agency and European scientists and NASA. But this was a really ambitious joint project between the two. The Cassini space probe, which is in orbit around Saturn, and is the relay station. It brought Cassini and put Cassini where it belongs, and so that was instrumental in this mission. But then the Europeans really designed and built this the Huygens probe themselves, and there, as a matter of fact, there's some American instruments aboard. So it's a true collaboration here, it is really interesting to see how happy everyone is. And
this is another, I guess, if you want to look at, you know, sort of a second great European triumph, you have probes that are, there's one that's going around Mars now, is there not? They're still taking pictures. That's a European.
Yeah, we maybe don't give as much attention to European probes as we could. There's they sent a probe called Giotto off to look at Halley's Comet, and they had a mission called Ulysses that went off and looked at the sun from the top down, as opposed to looking straight on at the sun the way we always do. So European space program certainly has had its share of probes, but these really flashy and exciting planetary up close and personal missions have been, by and large, the domain of NASA, and here's a real exception today.
So can we expect then that over the next, is it going to be hours or days that more of these pictures are going to be coming back? How many pictures should we expect? You know, dozens, thousands, and will they be making that mosaic they like to make about planet surfaces?
Yes, I think they are supposed to make the mosaic tomorrow morning, so they're not going to waste any time on that. The answer is how many pictures is in the hundreds. There's a little bit of confusion. They had a technical problem that reduced the amount of data that they got back, but it's unclear at this point how much of that data is redundant and not. But hundreds and hundreds of pictures, several hundred pictures are expected, along with data of all sorts of other kinds that are intensely interesting, but maybe less photogenic.
Yeah, I'll bet. And it survived longer, did it not? Than they thought it would.
It absolutely did. They were hoping that it would last a couple of hours. The mission would have been considered successful if it simply landed on the surface, because most of the mission, it was essentially to look at the atmosphere. But they had some instruments on board and said, you know, maybe we'll get a little more out of this. And so they had one instrument package that was specialized on looking at the land and living on the land. And in fact, it took 2.5 hours to travel through the atmosphere by parachute. And when it got to the ground, it just kept on humming, and it hummed for, they gathered 2 more hours of data.
Wow.
But by then, the moon had turned enough that Cassini couldn't see it anymore. So Cassini at that point turned away and started broadcasting this information back to us here on Earth. But But Huygens kept on going. It radio telescopes on Earth pointed right at this moon were able to see that it was still sending out a signal, and if anyone could hear, it was humming away for hours and hours. It was really quite remarkable. Somebody said, "Well, how could that be? It is so cold there on the surface of Titan." Well, the answer was they had some very good insulation on board, and when it landed, it was practically room temperature in there, and it just maintained its warmth long enough to keep the instruments humming and the batteries alive.
Kudos to those engineers. 1-800-989-8255. Anita in Oklahoma City. Hi, Anita.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there.
I'm so thrilled that you answered my call. I just want to say congratulations to the ESA and everyone concerned there in Germany. I'm personally excited because my mother and I made the trek to the Cape on October 15th in 97, and at 4:21 a.m. we watched that puppy go skyward. So I am just so thrilled. And if you run into Hans, tell him I'm glad the lens worked. He built that thing in his basement in Berlin. And Claudio and Jean-Pierre and Teresa and everybody, just so wonderful.
Yeah, and 7 years seems like a pretty long time to wait, but this has really been in the works for more than two decades. I talked to somebody who said he's been on this project for 22 years, and there are plenty of people who retired before they ever saw the conclusion of this. So it's it's one of those examples of really having to be very, very patient and being willing to pass the torch from one person to another. That's clearly what happened here.
Anita, you sound like you had more than just a passing interest in this.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, I have a few friends at JPL NASA there, Dr. Yeomans, and you spoke with him not long ago. And yes, when I was there for the 50th anniversary, and I was acquainted with the Cassini-Huygens at that point, and I took my mom on a vacation. We went to the launch, and actually the members that I mentioned of the ESA kind of adopted me as their mascot.
Well, congratulations to you. Keep the celebration going. We've got to go and say goodbye. Thanks for taking time to join us. And you, Richard, good luck to you. I know you'll have a long night tonight, but a happy one.
Indeed, there you know, people are bouncing off the walls here. It is really such an exciting moment.
You can let somebody else have the microphone now. Thank you for keeping the mouth for us.
Okay, thanks very much, Ira. Take care.
Good luck, Richard. Richard Harris, science correspondent to NPR there in Darmstadt, Germany. We're going to take a short break, come back, switch gears, talk about another technology, hydrogen cars. Stay with us.